And in Homer, the story is what's important. In fact, in a very significant sense, the story is all there is. Unlike the Bible, Homer never preaches, never gives you rules explicitly, never talks in that sense directly to the reader. The only thing we've got is the story itself. It had a central position in Greek culture, but as a story, as a representative story, which in the course of its actions revealed the values of the Greeks, but never explicitly stated them. Indeed, assumed a kind of commonality of values between the people depicted in the story and the audience, although the story actually takes place in a kind of mixed historical nowhere with some elements, as far as we can tell, which are like Homer's time, and others, so far as we can tell, which are much more characteristic of the time that Homer is describing. Anyway, here's how it begins. In Greek, menina eidatheia. Anger is the first word. Menin, anger. Out of control, anger. Aida sing thea, because the poems were sung, and in order to make up what you were doing as you went along, you needed the help of something beyond your conscious mind. The same thing that an improviser like Eric Clapton, say, is counting on as he improvises on the guitar, and their name for that was the muse, the goddess, inspiration. In English, rage goddess, sing the rage of Peleus' son Achilles, murderous, doomed, that cost the Achaeans countless losses, hurling down to the house of death so many sturdy souls, great fighters' souls, but made of them carrion. Feasts for the dogs and birds. And the will of Zeus was moving toward its end. Begin, muse, when the two first broke and clashed. Agamemnon, lord of men, and brilliant Achilles. What god drove them to fight with such a fury? Homer does not tell the whole story of the Trojan War. He assumes in his audience a knowledge of the whole Trojan War and makes reference to events in the Trojan War on that basis. But in fact, he focuses his direct attention on a very small portion of the Trojan War. The Trojan War reputedly lasted for 10 years. He focuses on about 6 weeks in its ninth year, and assumes our knowledge of the rest of it is going to contextualize that. The immediate occasion of his narrative is a fight between the leader of the Greeks, Agamemnon, king of Mycenae, who is head king over lots of other kings for the purposes of this expedition to Troy, and without question, absolutely without question, the greatest fighter on either side. Incomparably the greatest fighter on either side. The half-divine Achilles, son of Peleus, a human being, and of Thetis, a sea nymph. And central to the whole program, central to understanding all of Homer, I think, and to understanding this work is, despite the fact that as he's presented, Achilles is not consistently what we would think of as a terribly nice guy or even a terribly admirable guy, he is still, absolutely without question, great, and for this reason. When he is in battle, when he is at his best in battle, to watch him is like watching a god. It is category shattering. You've never seen anything like it. It is unbelievable. It takes your breath away. It's terrifying. If you have ever seen an athletic performance. If you have ever heard a musical performance that left you literally weak in the knees, you didn't think that was possible for a human being. Incredible. That's what Achilles is bringing to the table.